Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of How to Get Into Investment Banking. This is the official unofficial second episode. And just a quick joke for the running joke from the first episode. I say it's the unofficial official second episode because I did record like the original podcast series like 4 years ago, but re-recorded and re-releasing everything now. But anyway, just diving right into it, guys. The second episode, if you remember last week, we talked about the concept of your why and what that means exactly, right? And how that's going to help you get into investment banking. And what I wanted to do in this episode is that I'm going to tell you exactly how to construct your why and think through your short and long-term goals, you know, and again, once you're armed with your why, you will be dangerous and it will help you tremendously. But before we get started, a quick note, I guess for the folks who are at home in front of your desktop, you know, be sure to download the PDF like you guys did for the first episode so you could follow along with me in the video. And the folks who are getting, you know, getting this through their podcast providers, you know, whether Spotify or SoundCloud or whatever, you know, you're probably subscribed to the email, so you'll get a link to this PDF so you could just kind of review it when you get a chance to do so. So let's dive right into this slide, right? And again, before I start talking, if you guys want to orient yourself to the left side of the screen where I talk about, you know, right here, I'll put a little star right there. Let me change the color, actually. Nothing against black stars. I think a red would pop a little bit more. Before I want to dive into this, I'm going to say there are three things, right? There is, you know, your pain points that I want to address. There are the issues that students are having today and what the problem is, right? So let's start with, you know, the pain point. You know, the pain point is for a lot of students is very simply not having a clear vision. And even if you do, having, you know, a general idea of where you want to go, but not knowing how to go there and how to go about it. And trust me, this pain point is something that, you know, resonates very deeply with me. It's something that, you know, I've been there. I know how that feels, where you want to get somewhere, you want to work at a firm, you want to do something that gives yourself meaning that you're really passionate about, but you don't know how to get there, right? So again, you know, the issue might not be whether you have a clear vision or not, but the issue is, you know, what do you do and how do you get there, right? Now, what happens often more than not, and then you see this, you see students get really excited, which you love to see, and even kind of older students, is that you just start kind of, you know, sending out mass cold emails, or you just apply everywhere. Now, look, at the end of the day, and mind my handwriting, God, you know, one day my handwriting will become, will be nice, but I'm not that nice on this tablet, you know, yet, but going back to the point I'm making is that a lot of students rush to apply. You know, they send out cold emails and you're like a chicken with its head cut off, right? This is a huge issue. And, you know, not taking the time to, again, what I preach and what I will go to my grave preaching is understanding what roles and firms align with your short and long-term goals. You know, networking to set up informational interviews and sending cold emails, that can wait a little bit, right? Before you jump right into that and really start kicking the gears on that, you need to understand, hey, what is it that aligns with me? What is it that aligns with my long-term goals, my short-term goals? And the reason you're doing this is because when you reach out to someone and you're networking with someone, you want to make sure that you're getting presented as a refined, as an eloquent student, and you're coming off as what I love to say is presidential as possible, right? So in order to be that, you need to have your why figured out, but students are not taking the time to figure this out. And again, why is this a problem? Is no one is talking about this or telling students to take a step back and evaluate everything holistically, right? It's just assumed that, and this is a problem. This is a big, big, big problem. And I don't know who to blame this to. This might be like an industry problem of how things are conveyed. But the problem is that everyone just wants to do, hey, I want to do M&A at a bulge bracket or an elite boutique. And then I want to go to the buy side. And that's kind of like what everyone wants to do, is that I want to go work at a mega fund PE firm, right? And before that, I had my career at a top-notch M&A firm. And then after that, excuse me, I'm going to B school, right? And the problem is that, yes, that path is something that's going to be available for a lot of folks, but there are a lot of different paths that you can take and you have to understand that and again, be okay with that. So what I want to do right now is I'm going to go ahead and I just want to erase some of this stuff because the folks at home, as you can see, I have atrocious handwriting and probably take up half the screen, right? So, whatever. This is good enough. Okay, so now what can we do, right, to address this, right? And now, if we look right here, the first thing I talk about is how do you figure out your why, right? And again, I want to make this crystal clear. Look at this on the screen. Why is your why important? Your why is going to allow your networking efforts to be more organized and focused. You're going to know, hey, what are certain roles and firms that really resonate with me? And again, you're going to have a story that aligns with who you actually are. So when you're emailing people, it's not just like a fluff email. Listen, these people, when you reach out to someone in the industry, you know, people have their jobs to worry about. They have their relationships, their families, their careers, their bosses, their personal lives, their own career goals, right? So when you reach out to someone and it's just a generic email with a generic template and a generic reason why you're reaching out, most people won't respond to that. And it's because of that. It's like, all right, this is just a nonsense generic email. I don't have effing time to respond to this kid. So like, whatever, right? And some people might, because they're like, they understand, hey, you're new, and a lot of people want to give back and they want to be nice. But again, if you want that conversation to actually lead somewhere, there's a difference between just sending a generic email versus saying, hey, I'm really interested in X, Y, and Z because of this, and would love to learn more about some of the work that you've done at your current firm. And maybe you highlight a few deals or attach a link to something you read about their company and deal book or something they worked on. And it's like, hey, wow, this student took the time to actually like care about this industry vertical or about the product or the coverage group I'm in, whatever the case may be, right? So that stuff is really important. So again, if you're having trouble constructing your why and trying to figure out what your why is, here's the first thing that I need you to do, right? The immediate first thing that I need you to do, everyone, is research roles, firms, think about different verticals and industry that you're interested in, and then more so learn about the ecosystem. And what that means is, who are the players in this space? So let's like really dive in, because this is the fun stuff, right? So when I talk about role and firm research, the first thing I want to talk about, I'm trying to move my microphone a little bit down. I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'3", so this microphone is not ergonomically adjusted. People can see clearly it's maneuvering around. But anyway, when we talk about role focus, right, when you're in college and if you're a freshman, everyone's like, yeah, I want to work at a sell side firm. You know, meanwhile, most students can't even say, hey, what does a sell side, a full scale investment bank even do, right? When you think about sell side services, right, there's a lot. You know, when you think about what's within the breadth of investment banking, there's coverage, there's product. And then if you're at a boutique firm, there's also dedicated restructuring services. And even underneath restructuring, there's creditor and debtor services. And then some boutiques, analysts are even generalists. And again, this is strictly just on the advisory side of an investment bank. But an investment bank also, in addition to sell side, has equity research. They also have asset management, and they also have sales and trading. And then sales and trading is a whole nother animal where they're within sales, there's so many different branches, equity sales. And when you look at trading desks, right, there are a plethora of trading desk strategies, purpose, you know, of what these desks do. So again, when students are like, hey, I want to work in sell side investment banking, it's like, hey, is it sell side advisory work? Again, if you want to work in an investment banking arm, again, is there a coverage group? Is there a product? You know, right? Do you want to work in restructuring? Do you want to work at a boutique? Right? What are these things that matter to you? And again, the reason this is important, right, is that if you're a prospective candidate who's looking to break into banking, et cetera, what you need to do is, like, right now, you're here, right? You're a freshman, senior in high school, sophomore, whatever. And, you know, long term, you're here, right? Let's say this is like 20 years, you know, 20 years later, right? You really need to take a step back and be like, hey, what type of roles are out there that align with what I want to be in 20 years, right? That's going to help me get there. What are my passions? What are my interests, right? And now you guys are probably thinking, like, hey, Sajan, like, you've been like, hey, we get it. We need to understand what our passions are, what are our interests, so we can position ourselves in the short term. Well, okay, well, now how do I do that? Well, now let me give you an example, right? What are things that you actually read about or do day to day? So for example, you know, maybe you love playing games and you love playing Fortnite, right? Maybe you look into a group or buy side firms that's focusing on this emerging space of esports, right? And there are a lot of investment banks who are now having dedicated advisory arms to esports, right? Or maybe you're really into e-com or online brands or consumer brands, right? And there and do the same for that space, right? And there are a lot of PE firms or a lot of credit funds or a lot of sell side advisory firms that offer services in these different verticals and industries. So again, you might be struggling with, like, hey, I'm interested in finance and I want to do something in the sell side or buy side, but it's like, hey, what is it exactly that I want to do? Well, hey, I'm telling you what it is, right? What is it, what you're passionate about? If you're really interested in sports, there are a lot of teams on Wall Street at certain investment banks that are that really kind of dominate, whether it's advising, you know, the sale of an NBA company, or, you know, advising the EPL or teams in the EPL. There are firms that do this, right? So maybe if you're really interested in sports, then that's what you try to figure out, is, hey, what are the firms that really specialize in this stuff? So that's like literally the first step. And it sounds so simple when someone tells it to you, but the problem is that no one's been telling it to you. So that's why I'm here to say, hey, take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. I need you to take some time and be like, hey, what are things that I actually genuinely like to do? And look, for everyone who's out there saying, hey, Sajan, it's a numbers game, you know, coming from a non-target, I'm going to be lucky to get anything. Yes, that is true. Coming from a really shit situation, you'll be lucky to get an interview, you know, you'll be lucky to get that hire view invite, let alone a super day, right? So yes, I understand that there is a numbers game that you have to play. But if you start early enough and you really start concentrating, hey, like, this is what I want to do, this is what I'm interested in, let me get to know everyone in this ecosystem. So not just, you know, people on the sell side and buy side, but there's this entire other ecosystem that exists, right? So whether that's folks on the legal side, what are the law firms that advise these particular deals or specialize in these verticals and industry? And for most people, that connection isn't clear. And I'll dive into that in a few other videos. But again, the reason, and I'm going on a little bit of a tangent, but the reason, and this actually just transitions nicely. I'll get back to the second point of the verticals and industry, and I'll kind of jump right over into this ecosystem. What I mean by that, the reason the ecosystem is so important, and right here on the screen, guys, it says like, hey, where do you see yourself within the ecosystem, right? So if you want to be a buy side investor, or you want to be a sell side advisor, the reason it behooves you to start thinking about the types of firms and companies that play in that space is because, one, think about it, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if you're an MD or a principal, right, and you're leading deals, right, soup to nuts, whether it's on a pure play M&A side or, you know, actually from a, you know, hey, we want to acquire this company or we're trying to do a divestiture, bolt-on acquisition, whatever the case is, right? Wouldn't it behoove you to start networking with like the operational consultants, the turnaround consultants, the general consulting firms, the legal firms, and start networking with these people who may be alumni, non-alumni in your age group, and start building that team up as you also progress? Because what happens more often than not, a lot of folks don't do this at all. They really don't, right? There are so many people that you can be interacting with who also know people in your ecosystem. So let me make this like very clear, because I can see if you're a freshman or sophomore, it still might be a little, you know, it might not make complete sense. But let me give you an example for my background, right? So there was an alumni at a PE firm in Boston from Rutgers, and they focus on, broadly speaking, media telecom types of deals, right? So here I am, you know, sophomore, Rutgers, reached out to a really great guy. He was for folks who are not watching the video, I have like PE, BS, ASC, so literally private equity, buy side, associate. I could just pick one of those acronyms, but again, doing more than I need to, as always. So again, I'm a sophomore at Rutgers. I reach out to this Rutgers associate who's in private equity in Boston, doing primarily media and telecom, okay? So two reasons. He was 2 years removed from banking, but he still had a lot of his summer analysts who were coming in to become first years, and a lot of his prior first years who were second years, and some of his second years who were third years or associates. And again, the rest of his team was still there, right? So his associates, VPs, right? So for me, as I got to know this associate, and I told him, I was like, hey, look, I'm working at this investment banking firm in Boston doing restructuring and M&A, still up in the air, but would love to connect with other folks that you might know, you know, from your prior group, etc. So as I built the rapport with him, he then connected me with people at his old investment bank, right? In his TMT group, right? So now, because of him, he introduced me to folks at his old TMT group. Then on the flip side, who is reaching out to people on the buy side, right? You have bankers who reach out to folks on the buy side, right? There's regular communication, right? Whether it's just, hey, like, there is constant outreach, right? Between sell side, buy side firms. So the alumni that I was reaching out to, he had so many other friends on the sell side that, you know, that weren't from his old firm. It was just folks who actually reached out to him and he did business with, right? So these were folks that weren't Rutgers alumni who were at completely other firms that I would have no way otherwise to get into touch with, right? So that example is like, there were folks at RBC, at MS, at GS, etc., that interacted with this Rutgers alumni all the time who I wouldn't have been able to get in touch with if had he not made the introduction and he was like, hey, you know, he just shot him off individual emails. He's like, hey, not sure how involved you are with summer recruiting, but I know this great kid at Rutgers. This is his background. Would you be interested in speaking with him? They were like, yes, we'd be totally fine to where they'd be like, hey, I'm not in charge of recruiting, but I could talk to him and then, you know, see how it goes. And I could pass him off, you know, to our staff or whoever's in charge of recruiting. Right. So that's the power of realizing that there is this entire ecosystem of people on the buy side who interact with folks on the sell side. So if you're trying to get into banking, but you might know a few folks on the buy side, don't look at that as an L, look at that as a weight. People on the buy side interact with people on the sell side all the time. So let me ask my buy side alumni or non-alumni relationships to be like, hey, can you introduce me to any of your banking friends, right? So it might sound simple, but if it was simple, then you'd see more people doing it, right? Which is like, hey, let's think about what the entire ecosystem consists of, right? So for example, another great example, which I did, right? I interned at a smaller bank in Boston called Capstone Partners. But my MDs, they knew a ton of folks at a bunch of these turnaround consultants, right? So you have your A&M, Alex Partners, Deloitte has a corporate restructuring group. Now, all those MDs at those turnaround consulting firms, so again, Deloitte's corporate restructuring group is a little bit different than like an A&M or an Alex Partners. But all those folks who are MDs and directors at those firms, who did they have relationships with? They all had relationships with bankers, right? Because again, who do bankers reach out to get mandates? And again, to be fair, if you're a freshman or sophomore, you may not know this, but an example could be, let's say you're a restructuring sell side advisor, okay? And you, when a company starts to struggle, they're not going to immediately hire an investment bank, right? They might not just be capitalized. Frankly, an investment bank's services might not be what you need to turn your company around. So what would you do, right? You might go to a turnaround consultant, right? So again, like I said, an A&M or an Alex Partners or, you know, something like a Deloitte CRG or something like that, right? So what I did is I was like, hey, look, I don't have any direct ins at a lot of these elite boutique, you know, restructuring groups. And yeah, I could send cold emails and that might get me some cold leads, which I still did. But then I thought about it. I was like, hey, my MDs at Capstone, they all know these MDs and partners and principals at all these consulting firms, these turnaround consulting firms, right? And who do companies go to at the first sign of distress? They don't go to the sell side advisor for the most part, right? You're going to go to a turnaround consultant. So a lot of times in restructuring, when we made books, right, and we would make, I'm just roughly calling it, a book, but a book, what I mean by that is that we would just make a pitch for these turnaround consultants because we know that, hey, these guys are working with these restaurant operators or they're working with this hotel group in the hopes and the event that, hey, when your client, you know, files for bankruptcy or there's some sort of event where they need services, right? Where they need advisory work, debtor side advisory work. Hey, you will come and hire us because we've been monitoring the company. We've been monitoring the situation. We've been on top of the story. We know a lot about the story. We've been communicating with your turnaround advisor. So I was like, all right, my MDs at Capstone know all these turnaround guys on the consulting side, and all those turnaround guys know all these sell side bankers at all these various firms, right? Because those firms are the ones who are developing and driving relationships in the hopes of one day winning a mandate from them, right? So again, I was like, hey, you have to do something that's different, right? Listen, I came from Middlesex County College and Rutgers Newark. So I was like, all right, I can't just send, while I did, yes, you send your cold emails to directly to the firms you're interested in, folks you want to reach out to. But you have to understand it's a lot more easier if you get a warm referral or if someone literally reaches out to their friend and is like, hey, I know this kid, you know, he worked at my friend's shop, super great analyst, wanted to connect. Or, you know, however that introduction goes, you're much more likely to get not only just a warm lead, but a warm lead who's going to actually do something in terms of like, hey, you know, this was a candidate or student that was shown to me that was spoken very highly of, and you know, what could we do to at least screen them to get them involved in our analyst recruiting, right? So again, that's what I mean by how big the ecosystem is. But again, guys, that's not even what I wanted to touch on. I'm just remembering what I meant by, you know, what I wanted to add about, excuse me, when I said about the ecosystem. Let me just change my pen font because I know people at home are like, Sajan, there's way too much red on here, so I'm going to go ahead and erase this. But as I clean up my screen, sorry, slight technical difficulties. That's what happens when you go to Rutgers. They don't teach you how to they don't teach you how to deal with these PowerPoint issues. You got to learn it on your own. But let me just erase some of this stuff up, guys. I think this should be good. Okay, so ecosystem. This is so important. Is everyone ready for this? This is like the secret sauce, because I know for a fact students are not doing this, because I was the only, even now as an adult, when I network with people, people are like, oh wait, I didn't think of that. I don't do this. So what do I mean by learning about your ecosystem? All right, here is what I mean. And let me go ahead and change the font. I know, Sajan, get it together. All right, so ecosystem, learn it, live it, love it, okay? This is so simple. I actually feel bad saying this, because I'm like, wait, how do people not know this or do this? Like, this is like quite literally a freaking cheat code, all right? So what students are not doing in college that you need to do now is literally read respective trade journals and articles related to your space, right? So again, and as you do that stuff, and literally, guys, this is literally that simple. So for example, I knew that, you know, I'm really interested into film production. As you guys know, me and my friends, we make short films together. That's something that I'm really, really, really interested in, right? So I would read things like THR or Hollywood Reporter, sorry, people don't know that, or Variety. And why would I do that? Because I'd want to read about film financing deals that went on. It's like, hey, how did Thomas Tull get started? And how did he build out Legendary? Or how did John Feltner, over at Lionsgate, how did they raise capital? What deals did they do, right? You know, how did Summit Pictures get bigger? You know, how did MRC Capital, the people who were behind House of Cards, you know, how did they raise capital and finance their film deals with Netflix, etc., right? So again, the more I read about deals that were happening in this space, because I was really interested in film finance, what did that lead me to do? What did that organically lead me to do? It allowed me to understand. So here's film finance. So I got to learn about, hey, who are the major clients? So who are the major studios? Who are the major banks that are providing financing? And who are the, you know, outside capital, right? Where is the outside capital coming from? Who are the debt providers? Who is providing actual equity infusions and taking stakes into these companies? And then how did that help me? Is because I was like, okay, hey, now what I do is that, hey, I know folks who are all across the ecosystem, folks who are, you know, in corp dev at these studios doing internal M&A, folks who are on the buy side and raising capital to invest into these media film projects, and banks who are actually raising the capital for these studios, right? Because as you're doing your homework, you're reading these articles, you're now learning about people who actually work in the space. And now when you reach out to them, you can reach out to them with a purpose. You're not just sending them a generic email like, hi, my name's John. I go to Bumble, you know, I go to Blue State Mountain, you know, respond to my email. It's like, it's more like, hey, John, my name is Sajan. I'm a sophomore at Rutgers, etc. I'm really interested in this sector. You know, read about some deals you've worked on. Quick example, as a way of background, this is why I'm interested in this space. Would love to connect with you, as this is something that I'm interested in doing long-term in my career. Something simple like that, literally five sentences. And someone's like, oh shit, this kid like has this interest, you know, in film financing, capital markets, whatever, he's interested in capital markets, particularly within, you know, media. And he's interested in it because of this, because he makes short films. And he's actually read about some of the deals that I've worked down. Like, yeah, I'm definitely going to talk to this kid, 'cause he's like genuinely freaking interested and like did some homework to like actually understand what I've done and maybe some deals I worked on, right? So again, let's spend some time reading and learning, right? Read about deals on Dealbook, read about M&A deals that are actually happening, right? What are SPACs that are getting from? What are other blank check companies? What are pre-IPO equity raises? What are some of the reverse mortgage, what are some of the reverse merges, you know, that are happening? What are some of the restructurings? What are some of the Chapter 11 filings that are going on, right? Read presentations by activist hedge funds, right? There's so many activist hedge funds that put out There's so many activist hedge funds that are putting out their research. And people who are listening, like if you look at the camera, my face is like literally just like stopped right now in shock, because there are so many students who don't do this stuff. It's like, hey, you say you want to work at a hedge fund and you want to work at a hedge fund, you want to work in the buy side, but you're not even reading like Pershing Square's annual report. You're not reading Howard Marks, his letters and his memos that he puts out. So how badly do you actually want to be on the buy side if you're not doing these things, right? But again, you shouldn't be just doing them to do them. You should be doing them because A, you want to learn. B, you want to understand, hey, what are the different strategies that these investors are pursuing? Why are they long certain stocks? I was about to say stonks. Shout out to meme culture. They got a boomer like me saying stonks almost. But no, so again, you understand, hey, what are these investors doing? Why are they investing like this? And then more so, guys, what does this allow you to do? And I'm looking at the camera right now. What does this allow you to do? It allows you to reach out, again, very clearly, it allows you to reach out to someone at that firm or the person who wrote that report or someone who wrote that article or someone who's mentioned that article. Like, hey, saw this white paper you guys put out. I'm reaching out. This is my name. I'm a junior. This is my work experience. Would love to connect. Look, you could refine that cold email in a plethora of different ways. And I have examples in some of the future videos coming up. But again, just look at the difference versus emailing someone at a hedge fund that says like, hey, I want to work in finance. Please respond versus like, hey, here's who I am. Here's my background. Love the, you know, read this white paper your firm put out. Love the analysis. Here are my thoughts. Would love to connect, learn about more about your path and how you got into your seat and, you know, any advice you have for me. I'm going to respond to that second person because it's like, wow, first of all, they did their homework. They talked about something that I've actually did that's out there. It was an engaging email versus just a generic reach out, cold email, right? So again, that is something that students are not doing, which is, hey, spend time reading and learning. And again, it sounds so simple, but no one is, oh, I didn't know I could do this. No one is doing this, you know, and it's unfortunate because it's such a low-hanging fruit as a student that you can get educated very quickly and reach out to someone with a clear purpose and have someone be excited to talk to you. Like, wow, this student knows what they're doing. And it's unfortunate that students are just not being told this, right? Now, here's the thing. Guys, if you do this every day for a few weeks, you will have an idea of what resonates with you, right? More than anything else, you do this for a few weeks, you read companies' 10Ks, you go through the MD&A section, you read a company's prospectus. And guys, this is all free on Edgar, right? Through the SEC's website. It is all free. You can do this research. It's available. Literally Google activist hedge fund or hedge fund white papers or, you know, Salesforce prospectus, right? Etc. You can do this, right? And then as you read through this stuff, you're reading about M&A deals that companies have done, divestitures companies have done, you're reading about fundraising that's going on, you know, subscribe to PE Hub, subscribe to the Inside newsletter by Jason, and you're going to have so much stuff you won't even know what to do with. But as you start going through stuff, you'll slowly start understanding that, hey, what are things that like I'm really into, right? What are M&A concepts that I'm really interested in, right? 363 asset sales. You know, what is it about chapter 11s that I find interesting? What type of capital markets activities that I'm really interested in? You know, is it IPOs that I want to learn about? What is it that is like really kind of getting me excited, right? When I read about types of investments that are going on, is there a certain product or a certain structure or a certain medium that I'm really interested in, right? Do I want to go work at an SBIC fund? Do I want to go work at an LP? What is the fundraising environment like, right? As you start reading and just absorbing all this in, over time, you're going to be like, all right, hey, let me start deducing and start formulating what is my vision, right? So like you're going to just spend all this time, you know, reading, learning, and then you're going to kind of filter all that noise out and be like, hey, what is it that I actually genuinely want to keep learning about, right? Now that you've done that, you can take a step back and start coming up with that vision for your future, right? So it could be something like, hey, I want to work at a growth equity shop that focuses on AI technology and like emerging, you know, automation, you know, or robotics or something like that, right? And there is probably a fund out there that focuses strictly on that. And guess what? There are a lot of specific sell side firms that also focus on that as well. So what does this all mean is, right, as you've done this and you kind of come to like what you want to do, I understand the example I gave you is a very specific vision, but know this is that the clearer your vision is, it will be easier for you to have your why. And once you have this vision, you will have your why. And it is this why that will allow you to make the right choices any and every time you have to make a decision or a choice regarding your career. You will refer back to your why and ask yourself very clearly and simply, hey, will this action get me closer to my vision or further away from it? Your why is your guiding north. So again, I just want to write this out for folks who have this. You could have it at home. Is that like, hey, you know, like work backward, right? You want to work at a growth equity firm. So most likely before that, you either go to business school or you go to buy side. And, you know, hey, the buy side firm that you're at. And again, this is, again, before maybe you go to business school, maybe you don't. But again, let's say the buy side firm you're at. And again, you want to be in growth equity. You want to focus on, you know, something like, you know, AI or robotics and or like a SaaS firm. It could be anything. I'm literally using this as an example to show you that there is a plethora of industries and verticals out there. And then again, you're like, all right, well, now let me take a step backward. Well, if I want that to be my ideal buy side role, what are some of the ideal sell side roles? And again, I know people are listening to this and be like, hey, Sajan, like I don't have that luxury. I understand that. You're not going to have the luxury to pick and choose depending on where you're going to come from. And things are so competitive that you often have to take what is there. But again, the reason of this is to not be short-sighted, right? Because your career is long. Remember, this is, guys, this is like, where do you see yourself in 20 years, right? 20 years. Your career is going to be very long. So just because you get into the sell side at a certain vertical, you know, at a certain product or coverage group that doesn't align or jive with your 20-year vision, it's not the end of the world, guys, because you can always start somewhere and end somewhere else, right? You could go and be a generalist or work in restructuring and then pivot and lateral. And then from there, you stick it out for 2-3 years and then make the move to the buy side role that really resonates with you. Or maybe you go to business school and then get to that buy side role, right? But the purpose of this is so that in whatever roles you take, your end goal is not lost on you. And that's what happens is sometimes that you lose sight of what you want, of what you truly want to do in life. And that's why it's important to ground yourself and have conviction in your why, your purpose, and your vision. And now this doesn't mean that, you know, that this can change. This can change. And change is okay. Do not be afraid of that. But again, you want to have some sort of structure, even loosely going into all of this, right? So again, just to recap is if you're lost and trying to figure out your why, it's like, hey, let's take a step back and understand the different roles that exist in this entire, in this world of front office finance. There's so many different roles, but what is it that truly resonates with you, right? How do you do that? Is, hey, let me spend some time understanding, hey, is there a certain vertical? Is there a certain industry that I really like? And then as you continue to filter that down, hey, get educated on that industry, read about it. Excuse me. And then just as you, again, you're probably gonna be consuming a lot of information. What really resonates with you, right? So again, I know I give that example of, hey, someone wants to go work at a growth equity firm. They want to do X and they're probably going to go try to work at a tech group right out of banking. It could be anything, right? You could really be into media or telecom or digital media, or you could really like restructuring or whatever the case may be, right? There is something that can act as your guiding north that will help you in your recruiting process, right? So again, that is the bulk of it. And again, the homework really is like next week, when we come prepared, we're going to go through my why, which I'm really excited about, because I have people have always reached out to me like, hey, Sajan, you just quit private equity to go throw a discus and train for the Olympics. So would love to go and walk people through, excuse me, my why, because I know a lot of people have asked me about that. But before I end this, guys, and end the episode for today, quick thing, I got a question from a few students that, and I'm sure a lot of you are probably having this at home, is that, hey, okay, what do I get once I have my why? What do I do once I get my why? Simple. Use it to craft your story, your pitch. Use that to build your list, learn about your space, your industry vertical, start your reaching out initiative, build your list, send effective emails, schedule one-on-ones, prepare for behaviorals, practice your technicals, and go on your informational interviews, crush them, build rapport, land interviews. So yes, there is a lot of left to do, but having your why will make it easier for you to do so. So let's start with that. It's an important question because people be like, hey, Sajan, I did this homework. You know, I researched roles, I researched firms. I'm like really dead set. I want to work in M&A. I think M&A is exciting because it'll give me a lot more flexibility if I want to do corp dev, or if I want to do platform acquisitions at a PE portfolio company, or maybe I want to go to PE so that M&A skill set is really helpful. Or someone's like, hey, Sajan, I love debt and I want to work at a credit fund, or I want to go work at an SBIC fund, whatever the case may be. Once you have your why, now you have your purpose, your vision, and you can execute to get and back solve into that, right? Which is, again, craft your story, your pitch, build your list, learn about the space, the industry verticals, the ecosystem, your reaching out initiative, build your list, send emails, schedule your one-on-ones, prep for your interviews, behaviorals and technicals, go on your interviews, crush them, you know, so there's a lot to do. So really excited, about that for people to like, hopefully you watch this, figure out what your why is, and go friggin' crush it. You know, that's what that is, right? So again, with that being said, download the PDF I made for you guys, work on your why, and get back to me with what it is. Email me, drop a comment, tell me what your why is. That is my homework for you all. You know, work on your why and have it ready for next week. What I'm going to do for you guys next week, like I said, is I'm going to go over a case study using myself as a subject. So really excited about that. And then I'll walk you through my why and how I got to it over time and how it changed. So you could see a real life example of like, hey, how did Sajin's why actually, you know, formulate and originate when he was in high school, and how did it evolve over time? And that way I want students to be able to use my experiences and background to help you come up, with your own why. So, again, guys, thank you. I hope you liked watching this as much as I liked making it for you guys. If you know anyone who'd find it helpful, please, please, please share this video with them. And again, I'm really excited. I'm genuinely excited because look, you know, it doesn't matter what stage you are in your career. You need to talk to people. You need sounding boards. You need advice. You need to get things out and be like, hey, what works best for me? And I know what it was like being that county college student at Middlesex, at Rutgers Newark, and being like, shit, I'm like totally lost. How am I going to get into front office finance? But I had a great environment. I had a bunch of great mentors, who helped me and answered my calls and helped guide me in the right direction. So, you know, I'm hoping to do that, and looking forward to seeing you guys on the next week. All right, guys, take care.